Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carrie Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in here on a Monday evening in the preseason. Cole Temper, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. And to show the bench strength that we have on this program, we are deep. We have talent all the way up and down the roster, while the GM is busy deciding the some of the cuts here and massaging the roster. We bring in the next guy on our depth chart. That is Terry McDonough, the director of personnel. Terry, great to have you in.
Thanks, Cole. It's good to be here with you and Vic and Joe.
You say that now. We'll see what happens at the end of the broadcast. All right. Well, we want to remind everybody, if you want to make your voice heard, you can do so. Go to facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. You can just enter some of your questions. You can follow there about, 50 or 60 comments right there. And the best ones we'll get on the air here. We'll ask Terry about some of these questions as well. Well, let's start with a question we like to start kind of all the time, and I'll get from both of you gentlemen. What do you think so far?
Go ahead, Terry.
We were just talking off air. I was excited to see last week against the Bucks, our defensive line come together like that. That's the thoughts that I've had today. Just watching Campman out there with Alualu and Knighton and Derek Harvey. It was exciting to see our defensive front swarm like that. I hadn't seen that in a while. So that was the main thought on my mind.
Well, here's what I think. I think this afternoon I'm the guy who got the call from Gene saying, hey, would you mind if I substitute Terry for the show tonight? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really busy. Okay, no problem. I'm thinking about this. You got to cut to 75 from 80. I mean, you could do that in the bathroom, on the throne, on toilet paper, right? I mean, you could do that after your morning coffee, 5 days. Blah, 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 blah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Done. Here, give us to Coach Del Rio. Done, right?
Well, the next cut will be more difficult.
Yeah, but wait, no. Here's what I'm trying to say. He's really working hard at it. So maybe we're not going to get, maybe it's not just as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe he's trying to get ahead of the final cuts and trade somebody. You know, I mean, if you're going to trade somebody, you got to do it with this cut. You can't do it with the next cut because you just cut him.
No.
See what I mean? So maybe I'm guessing that Gene's working hard on a big trade.
Well, I know this. This is the time of year when a lot of teams do call.
About safeties?
About every position.
For instance, it's
amazing. It's amazing. Every team has two or three guys that they might want to get something for. So the calls right before the draft and this week, probably the busiest two call weeks of the year, because you hit the nail on the head right before the last
right.
cut.
You got to do it now.
Your thought process. So this is the week to every team. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many calls both Gene and I have fielded this week.
You getting calls about your safeties?
Yeah, safeties, receivers, defense, everywhere. Everywhere they think we might have.
Where would you have? I mean, where do you have an excess? What positions?
Well, that's the questions they all ask. Let me continue because it's interesting maybe for the listener. It's the same thing with every team. What are you strong at and what do you need?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, it's like poker. They don't want to tell you. I mean, and you're trying to figure out, okay, who are they insinuating? Who are they going to let go?
So how much analysis do you have of other rosters right now? I mean,
Gene's incredibly detailed. We've broken down every team, every position on every team, every battle between. We have college grades, pro grades. I mean, he won't mind me sharing that. It's the information is unbelievable on every player on every team, graded, ranked, put in categories. It's the regular fan wouldn't even understand.
Okay, so I'm calling you. I'm calling you from the Minnesota Vikings, whatever, any team, the other conference. Nobody you play, et cetera, and I say, Terry, where are you strong? We're strong at safety. I got a guy or two at safety I can move. Are you interested in either one of these guys? Where do you have an excess?
Well, right then, 95% of the time I'll have real good knowledge of who the two guys.
Where do you have an excess?
You're asking me?
Yeah. What positions?
You want me to tell you the truth? Are you Minnesota or are you Vic Cashman?
No, I'm Minnesota. I want you to play the game.
Okay, well, if you're Minnesota, I'm going to look where you're weak because mm-hmm. I want something where you're strong. So I'm going to know where you're weak. So I might say we have, and I'm just using Minnesota as an example. They might not be, you know, I know they're strong at defensive line. Everybody in the league knows mm-hmm. that. So maybe we want one of their defensive linemen, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. I'll, you know, mention a player that we might not want or might be on the bubble for mm-hmm. us where they're weak, and I'll throw them out there. And, you know, people don't want old guys. They don't want troubled guys. They don't want guys that have been at three or four different teams.
Except for Oakland, maybe.
Yeah, they want young guys mm-hmm. who are healthy, that have maybe, they're trying to find out, okay, will Jacksonville make a mistake? Will anybody make a mistake? Who's their 50th through 55th guy? And is their 50th guy a guy they might mistake, you know, release? And is he really their 40th? People are trying to get value. Mm-hmm. It's harder to do nowadays with the amount of teams in the league and the exposure you get on everybody and the injuries you have. It's mm-hmm. you don't find as many guys slipping through the cracks as you did. And there's James Harrison's, don't get me wrong. They're out there, but you don't find it as much anymore.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I found interesting in your comment there was, what would you tell Vic and what would you tell the Vikings? So there's some gamesmanship that goes on in these conversations. These phone calls.
You don't want to tell anyone the exact truth, but you don't want to lie to them either. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense.
Are there different levels of those conversations? In other words, if you have somebody who you have previously worked with, you have a good relationship with, who works for another team, will you be more honest or truthful, more
absolutely.
Forthcoming with them
absolutely.
Than somebody who you haven't had an interaction with?
Well, there's teams that like to fish that you know they're really not in the buy-in market. They just want to get information from you, mm-hmm. so you tell them absolutely nothing. And then there's teams that you have a trust level with. Gene and I didn't work together for a long time, so he had his own network of friends, and I had mine, plus all the other scouts. So we have a pretty good network. We talk to every team in the league. But there's teams like Baltimore where I came from, and then people that branched out from Baltimore. Gene has people that have branched out from here. So if you notice around the league, certain people like to do deals with certain teams right. or certain families. That's just how it happens because there's a trust level there.
Better this time of the year, more likely to get player for player rather than player for draft pick?
Yeah. People don't want to give up picks. Everybody wants picks, but I've heard Vic say a million times, picks are like gold, you know, and they are.
Picks, not players.
Yeah, so people don't want to give up picks, mm-hmm. but you'll see a lot of times this time of year, you'll see player for player. Or if a team has a big need and they want a guy bad enough, they'll give you a pick for him. Mm-hmm. They'll give you value for that player if they really believe that player can step right in with a couple weeks to go before the regular season, learn the system, and contribute for them. Then you'll get a pick. But typically this time of year, it's player for player.
Now, let me ask you a question about comparing this year to last year at this time. When you look at the roster, do you have more strengths or more needs now than you did last year this time?
Oh, that's an easy one. We're a lot stronger now. I mean, last year was a beginning of an overhaul. And I don't know if Gene likes when I say that, but we were. The facts are the facts. I mean, he gutted most of the roster, got rid of a lot of guys that couldn't play and weren't very good people. We had a highly successful draft last year, and we're trying to build on that this year with the draft and free agency. I'm very excited about, you know, when you talk about Kasim Osgood, Aaron Kampman, you know, we just brought in a lot of veterans that Justin Smiley, I can go on and on, guys that Kirk Morrison, guys that are really good leaders with their teams, and we brought them all in, and they've meshed well with our young guys. So I'm really happy with the leadership that we've brought in. Usually you build your leadership from the draft, but a lot of guys have showed up around here the last 12 to 18 months that were leaders from other programs, and it's shown up on the field. I'm sure you guys have seen that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have, and we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. This is Terry McDonough, the director of personnel for the Jaguars, who's filling in as the GM. Gene Smith is handling some more pressing duties right now as the first line of cuts are due here by tomorrow. Jaguars fans, Bud Light and Winn-Dixie are bringing you the freshest beer in town. Bud Light so fresh it's packaged the same day. Don't miss out on Day Fresh Bud Light, Friday, September 3rd only at Winn-Dixie. We're back with more Jaguars Monday, presented by Sudeth right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth. We have Terry McDonough, the director of personnel, in the studio with us this evening as the GM is handling first line of cuts. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars reward card when you purchase at least 10 gallons of Gate gasoline and get $2 in Jag Bucks. For details, go to jaguars.com. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. Here is the most important and pressing injury update. Vic, it was your top story on Jaguars.com today. Maurice Jones-Drew will not play in the preseason finale on Thursday. However, you did not have surgery, as was reported by some blog sites, I guess we would call them. And so waiting and seeing, and that's a question I think that everybody's going to be wondering to see, how's Maurice going to be after six preseason carries?
Well, what I got a kick out of was the next thing Coach Del Rio said was, after he said he has not had surgery, and surgery is not necessary. And at that point, if I wasn't in such a nice guy, my next question was going to be, what's the injury that he doesn't need surgery for? The answer would have been, there's no injury. You know, in other words, there's been, this whole thing went down today without an admission of a specific injury. We're talking in circles here. So I'm sitting here and I'm feeling like, hey, wait a minute, what kind of reporting is this? I'm taking down comments about an injury that I don't even know exists and the team won't acknowledge exists. Yeah. So really what I'm doing is I'm acknowledging the fact that these blog sites that have completely screwed up the injury are in fact correct to some degree. It's really shoddy reporting, and I've been going around on this now for a couple weeks, and I know I'm just banging my head against a wall, but this is not the way to do it. My job, your job, is to provide information to the readers. And because of this, because the league is allowing teams, is not requiring teams to divulge health injury information during the preseason, the teams are able to withhold information. Providing information and withholding information are in direct contrast to each other. That is a confrontation, and it doesn't go well with reporting. So here we are. We're doing a press conference, and we're getting comments about an injury that hasn't even been acknowledged or detailed.
Right.
And that's bad. That's stupid. I mean, I felt like an idiot writing down these quotes about an injury that I don't even have anyone on record saying has occurred.
And that's where we are.
That's
all
where
across
we are.
The National Football
League.
So
we're to assume it's a knee injury,
particularly in the preseason.
And who has told us it's a knee injury? By these blog sites, I'm ripping for being irresponsible, for being not credible. You see what I'm trying to say here. This needs to be cleaned up between now and next summer. The league's got to do something about this.
Make your case here. Then
the information doesn't have to be detailed, but I think. Again, and I'm on a crusade here, but I think the reader, I think the fan whose heart is in this, deserves to at least know something that won't hurt the team, will protect the team and its personnel dealings, but will provide some kind of credible information. So these websites that just throw anything against the wall and see if it sticks, will be short circuited.
I'm just reading a website here that has just reported that. Vic Ketchman had a cranial separation. Can we confirm or deny that? Do you still have your head on your shoulders?
I don't know about a cranial separation, but I've been accused of being nuts, if that's what you're trying to say. And on this particular subject, I don't think I am.
All right. So you can give your thoughts in here, and whether you want to talk about whether Vic's nuts or not, and we'll also
I don't want to talk about my nuts.
No. If you are nuts or not. Your comments for Terry McDonough as well. Cameron has posted this question. How are you going to fix the defensive back positions?
What Cameron ask?
He wants
I can't
to know about
see.
The defensive back positions here. What?
That's a little vague. Corners, safeties, all of them.
I'm not going to guess what Cameron is thinking, but obviously the defensive backfield has been lagged behind where the defensive front has been so far. So, what do you think?
Our two starters from last year are back, and they'll be healthy opening day. They're healthy now. Rasheen and Cox. And safeties, there's no secret. There's a lot of guys competing for two spots at the safety position. And, you have Alexander, Nelson, Constantine, Smith, you got the whole crew back there. And Brackenridge is playing well. So you have five guys, and there's only two spots. And of course, Courtney Green, so that's six guys.
When does Brackenridge get a shot at this?
He's playing well. I mean, he was a nickel in a corner last year. He's played safety before, but he's made the transition back there. But he's a good football player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a bright guy, and he's not going to blow coverages.
He had a nice interception the other night. Yeah. That was a heck of a play, and he's the right kind of guy. That's what I'm saying. It's the six guys. I just named six guys that I hope I'm not forgetting anybody, but they're all in the running to make the team.
Will he get a shot?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now they're all. It's, you know, you wish you had it solidified at this point. There's other positions that you can look right at. I mean, I'll say, yeah, this is the starter. These are the backups. Seems that's one position along with potentially the guard position where there's still some competing going on.
It's interesting. Sometimes in the course of a week or of a game, you have different media members have the same thought kind of concurrently, and I found it interesting that. On Saturday night, as I was recording the Jaguars report for the next morning, I referenced these two guys. Vic, you, at the same time I was cutting that, you were writing about these two guys, and the newspaper did as well, and that's John Matthews and Brock Bolin, who are guys who just obviously had standout performances on Saturday night. When you see these guys play, how do you assess these guys playing against largely second-team competition? How do you grade them? How do you evaluate them properly in the context of how they would do against starters?
Well, sometimes you don't, and that's why people make mistakes, and that's why we're out there looking for people that don't evaluate them properly. It's not just the games. The games are a big part of it because that's the stage. You want to see how they perform on the biggest stage, but you have a lot of practices, a lot of OTAs. Brock Bolin's a guy we got as an undrafted free agent who's done nothing but good things since he's been here. In every way. And Matthews has come in, off the street from Indianapolis, and he's played really good football for us. So when you get a guy off the street like that, you want him to come in and compete for a chance to make the team, and that's what he's done.
Brock Bolin is your classic West Coast offense fullback. Run a little, catch a little, block a little, that kind of thing. Do it all, but, he's not a masher in the block game. This is not a West Coast offense. This team wants a masher at fullback. When it wants to run the ball, it wants somebody that's going to get up in there and explode, people.
And Greg Jones does that.
It's Greg Jones. I got to tell you, if I'm a West Coast offense team, I might have some interest in Brock Bolin. I might give you a call.
Yeah, we've received, and I'm not giving away any of Gene's secrets, we've received calls on a bunch of guys. I can't tell you who, but Brock, I just was telling you earlier, Vic and Cole, that young, healthy, but what we really like Brock Bolin. He brings a lot to this team. So, I don't want to start that talk. He's a valuable member of the Jaguars. He's been a good player on special teams. He can play running back, fullback, everything you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So the more Brock Bolin types you have, the better football team you're going to be.
Take us through a little bit of the process when you start making cuts. And I was watching Hard Knocks the other night. Vic, I don't know how much you're watching this.
I don't watch that.
I've found it interesting. I'm compelled this year, and it's not because of the head coach of the Jets swearing so much. That's
all it is. I mean, that's people watch it for.
Of the show, but that's not what I'm watching it for. But they were talking about making the stacking the roster, figuring out where guys 1 through 80 fit in. And they said, all right, we know we've got X number of guys on offense, X number of guys on defense. We've got to find two more guys somewhere. And so they're trying to decide. When it comes down to it here, how many guys are how many guys are in the – how many guys are on the bubble, let's say? I mean, how
– Well, when you look at it from a roster standpoint, the magic number is 53. And then from a coaching standpoint, it's 45. I mean, you look at it from the game day standpoint and from the team standpoint and – if you have 53 guys that make the team, there's probably always about 60 that are in the legitimate conversation that have a chance. So it's those last few guys that, you go back and forth. And it's like anything else. You want to make the right decisions. And a lot of things go into it. Injury, things like that, calls from other teams, positions you're strong. And so, so many factors go into it. But at the end of the day, you don't want to make the mistake of letting go of a guy that can still play and go to another team and play.
You haven't reached the point yet in 2 years of rebuilding that you have a position where you have a serious excess, have you? I mean, you're not at that point yet.
I think we're really strong and deep at running back. I do. Okay. If you look at our numbers at running back, we have a lot of good running backs.
Are you including fullbacks in that conversation?
Yes, backs. Mm-hmm. If you include backs,
If you're including fullbacks.
If you look at our running back position, fullback, tailback, we're deep there.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe a little something to keep in mind
there's no question. I mean, that statement is pregnant. Yep. I mean, it says that if you want to trade, if you need a running back, call the Jaguars.
Right. That's right. All right, when the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter. Terry McGunnis, our special guest here in studio tonight. Cole Pepper, Vic Ketchman, and you back after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
Play action with the now with time in the pocket. Looks for the end zone. He's looking for John Matthews, who lays out and makes a terrific grab. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Wow, what a catch.
Fantastic pass and catch by McCown to Matthews. In the Jaguars' preseason victory, welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutter, continues. Cole Pepper, Vic Ketchman, and we're joined by Terry McDonough, the Jaguars Director of Personnel. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. All right, if you want to get some comments in, you can do so via Facebook. Go to facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars if you haven't liked it already. And the best ones will get some thoughts in here. Scott just posted this question, Terry. Scott thinks we need more help on the offensive line. Are there any decent free agents out there that you expect to come free on the offensive line?
No, not really. If a guy can play, teams will keep him for the most part. I like the way our offensive line is shaping up. I do. Our two rookies last year, you know, Britton and Monroe, are going to obviously get better, and they played well for us last year. Uche Nwere is really playing well, and all those guards we talk about that'll – it's kind of like I refer to the safeties. They're going to be an interesting little battle for those two spots coming up on Thursday night.
Well, I made the observation the other night on the pregame show that where the team has drafted and concentrated its drafting in the last 2 years, those positions are fixed long term. Wide receiver looks like it's fixed. Offensive tackle looks like it's fixed. The defensive line appears as though it is fixed. What I don't think we realized or appreciated fully last year when we acknowledged that this is a reconstruction job is how severe the reconstruction job is, how major it is. In the second year of that reconstruction, it looks like the situation has worsened at some positions that haven't been addressed because you can't address them all in 2 years. But the good news is, the thing that makes me feel good about the direction of the team is that those places where Gene and Terry and the personnel department have those positions that have been addressed in the first 2 years, they're fixed. And if you keep doing it that way, you know, in a couple more years, you'll have it all fixed.
Well, you never know. You know, there's injury and things happen, but I do know this. There's a certain type of player that Gene wants here and Jack wants here and the owner wants here. And we won't bring them in unless they meet certain criteria. And it's one of which you better be tough, you better be smart, you better love football, and you better be good in the community. And I'm not saying we want all choir boys around here. That's not what we want. We want to run a classy outfit that's going to win football games and make people in Jacksonville want to come out to the games and come see a team that's going to win a Super Bowl championship.
Does that give you less margin for error when you're drafting? Or
absolutely. We have no more excuses around here for drafting, and we haven't made any in the last 2 years. There are no excuses. If you have an eye for talent and you're good at what you do, you should hit on your draft choices.
Your drafts are sensational. I really mean that. But I have a concern for one of your picks right now, and that's Derek Cox. He looks like he's going through rough times. Now, I covered one of the great cornerbacks in NFL history a long time ago, Mel Blount, and he went through a very rough patch early in his career. So I don't know if Derek Cox is, you know, experiencing the growing pains that goes with being left on an island or what, but he is struggling a little bit right now, and I'd like you to comment on that.
No, he is struggling. I'm not going to sugarcoat that at all. He has had a little bit of a foot, you know, that everybody knows about during camp. He fought through it. Last year, he came in as a rookie and started 16 games for us, and we all had a 16-game menu to work off, and the guy played well. He made some rookie mistakes, but all in all, without much of a pass rush, to say it mildly, mm-hmm. He really performed well for us. So there's no reason coming into this offseason We just expected him to, you know, take off and get better. And he struggled a little bit. He moved to left corner. Now he's, you know, he'll be playing a lot of right. Rasheen probably will be playing some left. But I expect, listen, he's a good kid. He's big. He's tough. He's fast. He can play the ball. He's instinctive. I'm not, you know, there's other rookies too that, you know, Eben's been hurt a little bit, hasn't played a lot. I mean, the thing, you know, there's peaks and valleys with this thing. I fully expect Derek to continue to be the kind of player he was for us last year and even better.
One more question on Derek. And I this is, I don't mean this flippantly. Can he play safety?
No, I think he's a right corner. He can turn and run with size guys. I mean, last year when Rasheen was out and Andre Johnson came to town, we put Derek man coverage on arguably the best receiver in the NFL. And you know, Andre didn't have a great day that day. So I mean, Derek is a corner. He's not a safety.
Yeah, right corner is the squat corner, right?
Yeah, you know, your left corner typically, you know,
man to man guy.
Yeah, you know, in certain schemes, in the right corner, mm-hmm. you can say is more of a, you know, big, tall. It's just all depends upon your
zone
scheme.
Corner.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and can, you know, usually, but and that's kind of his body style.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy is fast. He's tall. He's got a lot of skills, so he'll have a good year for
is
us.
Is he a good tackler?
You know, we saw 16 games last year, and what he showed us in 16 games where he is a good striker.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he made some great tackles, and then
yeah.
there were some times where he missed. But where you get concerned is when a guy won't tackle.
Well, that's why I ask about safety, because he looks like a guy who will and wants to tackle, and he has the speed of a cornerback that should be able to get him from sideline to sideline, and he does play the ball well in the air. He does have good hands. He led you in interceptions. So I'm thinking that, well, you know, if it doesn't work for him, a corner – he might be the logical the fix at free safety.
Yeah. Well, I've never thought of it that way, because in my mind, he's still going to be a good corner in this league. There's no need to panic. He'll get
okay.
better. He has the things you look for, and he's tall, fast, tough, smart. He can play the ball. That's not a big area of concern for me. Now, would I have liked to have him come out in preseason and play flawless like he did in OTAs? And,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, of course. But mm-hmm. he's had his struggles. But, you know, a lot of other guys have too. That's what training camp is all about, fixing that and getting better for the regular season.
All right, to that end, what do you look for when you're watching your team play in the preseason, whether it's live or on tape? What you can't just look at the scoreboard and make a decision of here's how things went, and the stat sheet can be a little misleading sometimes. So what do you look for when you're evaluating a preseason game?
Well, you look for – you want to – at the end of the day, you want to pick the 53 best guys. And in preseason, you want – a lot of guys are fighting for spots. You want to see who steps up when the lights go on. It's one thing to be out there during practice, you know, when you have a couple hundred people in the stands. It's another when you're playing a game and your livelihood's on the line and, you know, you're playing against some great NFL quarterbacks or whatever that might be. But competition, competing, who's flying around, who refuses to get blocked, who's making catches in the middle of the field, who's tough, who wants to be here, who's a real NFL player, who's not. You know, if you're not a real NFL player and you're not tough, I don't think Gene Smith's going to keep you around here very long. I think he's proven that the last couple of years.
All right, we'll have one more segment here with Terry McDonough as we continue on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. You can vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for the details. Again, you can get your thoughts in. If you have a comment, go to Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. And some of the best comments we'll have coming up for you right after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suttoth. Cole Temper, Vic Ketchman, and the Jaguars Director of Personnel, Terry McDonough, here with us as GM Gene is off massaging and cutting the roster.
He's
and
making a trade.
Just Vic thinks he's making a trade. Well,
big blockbuster.
Vic thinks. Trade, making a trade. Is that right? It's a blockbuster.
Gerard Jones drew for
T.O., right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need T.O. That'll work.
By the way, that was the second most asked question I got in my speaking engagements during the offseason and in the preseason mm-hmm. Was about T.O. I mean, we know what the first one was Tebow.
Tebow.
So it was either
Tebow
or T.O. That was the offseason thing. Jaguars wrap up the preseason on Thursday against the Falcons here at Everbank Field, 7:30 for kickoff. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at 4:30 with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue
Wouldn't
tailgate.
Wouldn't that be an interesting dynamic to have those two guys on your team?
Think that'd be a little different personalities?
Yeah. Imagine, think of T.O. dogging Tebow on the sideline like he did Donovan McNabb, all right? And at some point, Tebow just picks him up, puts him between one of his arms, and crushes him in a flex. Have you ever seen a quarterback, and this includes Bobby Douglas, all right, who was built like Zeus. Have you ever seen a quarterback with a body like that?
The only one we could think of was Dan Kendra, who became a fullback.
Yeah.
And had some other issues.
See, that wouldn't happen. It would be more the Tony Romo where T.O. would be crying. He's my quarterback. I love him.
You know, I think of Bobby Lane, you know, and I imagine him, you know, with a shot glass in his hand standing next to Tebow. It's not the same game.
He's not built like Sonny Jurgensen.
No, Sonny Jurgensen, there's another one. Uh-huh. You know, wow. I mean, the guy is built like nothing I've ever seen.
All right, Terry, let me ask you this. The first line of cuts come up here this week. Then after the final preseason game, the last line of cuts, you have to cut down from 75 to 53. Then you add the practice squad. If a guy is on that bubble, if he's somewhere between let's say 51 and 60, as you mentioned earlier, maybe 60 guys who are really truly in the conversation. What can a guy do in the last preseason game to get off that bubble and onto the roster?
Make plays. You know, let the head coach and the GM say, wow, we can't cut this guy. Look at him. I mean, there is a legitimate opportunity for guys to make this football team and every football team in the league. That's why they play four preseason games. Now, you hear they might go to two in the future. If that's the case, in the second preseason game, it has to be done. But you commonly, you'll see around the league, the fourth preseason game, a lot of the starters don't play. So it's a tremendous opportunity for those backups to come in and win a roster spot.
Keep Cutrera. That's the guy.
You like that guy, huh? Yeah. You were blogging about him on Saturday night.
I did an interview with him last week. Every year at this time, I have great sensitivity for these guys. Mm-hmm. And I explained why. I told the story. And every year at this time, I pick one out. And last year it was Michael Desermo. Remember him, Terry, the safety from Louisiana Lafayette?
Yes. Vic likes the Cajuns. He likes those people from down there in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, this guy's from Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. I mean, his brother played with Desermo at Yolef. Yeah. That's just the greatest.
And Desermo was a quarterback.
Yolef.
U-L-L-A-F.
Yolef. Anyhow. And he was an engaging interview, and he's a wonderful young man, and he played real well Saturday night. Now, you know, for a team that isn't real deep at linebacker, you know, I'd like to find a way to keep him around, practice squad, whatever.
No, he's done well. As a matter of fact,
big guy.
My wife is from Louisiana, and a couple of years ago we were in an LSU game, and she reminded me the other night that we were eating at Cutrera's parents' tailgate before the game.
Is that right?
And they like
a bunch
the tailgate.
Of people, yeah.
Bunch,
so all of a sudden, you know, since she's Cajun and he's from LSU, you know, I'm getting these questions with her Cajun accent. Hey, baby, how's Cutrera doing? So it doesn't help him at all. He has to earn it on the field, but since she's from Louisiana, she's pushing.
She's lobbying for him.
So you saw the movie Waterboy, huh?
No, I haven't. Was there something like that in there?
Yeah.
I know he's from down there, Bobby something. Or he's
Bobby Boucher.
Yeah. Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher.
Well, he had a girlfriend from Louisiana.
Well, my wife, my beautiful wife, she's from Bobby Boucher's hometown. She's from Thibodaux, Louisiana, so I guarantee
all right,
she's from
I love
there,
it.
So.
There we go. Thursday night against the Falcons. We don't expect to see the starters play very long. So does that Thursday night game become the bottom of the roster prove it game? Is that what that is?
Yeah, it does. I don't know. I can sit here and say, well, yeah, it does. These guys, there will be jobs won and lost Thursday night. And I think the fact that a lot of guys know that, the added pressure might make our decision a little bit easier because certain guys. And when it's not, again, it's not all or nothing Thursday night. There's been a body of work since last winter, since the end of the season. It's just coming to an end now, and what I'm saying is the last handful of spots are up for grabs, and who's going to step up and take it? Not only in our team, but every team in the league has that. So, I mean, that's just the way it is. That's the nature of the beast.
You know, I have some thoughts on this, and they're kind of against the grain, but it's from a lot of years of seeing that last preseason game, a guy makes a play and kicks somebody off a roster. I saw it years ago with Matt Barr, who then went on to kick for 10 more years in the league because some guy who couldn't put it between the pipes, you know, 2 days in a row, did that night and kicked him into the and through the back of the end zone, and he wins the job, and he's gone a couple of games later, and Matt Barr kicks for 10 more years. I personally believe that you've got to make the cuts before Thursday night, because you can't let one game, one moment in the sun, so to speak. You know, you can't let some guy have the stars line up for him one night and then blow out, you know, all of the other OTA practices and mini camp practices and training camp practices, all the other, you know, all the rest of the body of evidence, body of work, because somebody, you know, had a great night. I feel very strongly about that.
You know what? I agree with you 100%. Absolutely.
What about the combined practices,
absolutely,
you know, with the Falcons? I mean, we
if
can't forget
those
that, either.
If you do that, that's bad business. Right. However, when it isn't clear-cut and it is coming down to it and these two guys are neck and neck, then there is Thursday night means something.
Okay,
for
yeah, if you have that. But I mean,
you don't have, typically some years you won't have that.
The bottom line is, Terry, at this point in time, you know who the best players are. You know who should make that roster. And if you sat down right now and cut the roster, and if it's any different come next Monday than what it is right now, I think you made a goof.
Well, you know, in essence, though, but and if that's the case, then they'd have the cuts yesterday and they wouldn't play this next game. I mean, you have four preseason games to judge these guys and make a decision. You have all the OTAs, all the off-season workouts, all training mm-hmm. camp, and it's coming down. We're not going, it's like the draft. We don't stop working, for, you know, 5 days before
no,
the draft.
Well, I'm saying,
we have our board.
I'm saying your picks next Monday will be the same picks they would be right now if you made them.
I would hope so.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope so.
All right. A couple more minutes here with Terry McDonough, the Jaguars Director of Personnel, as we continue to work our way here through the preseason. When the preseason, if the preseason gets cut to two games, is that going to make your job easier or more difficult in determining these, you know, which guys fit where on the roster?
We were talking about that tonight. I was talking with Gene and Jack, and we were three of us were sitting around, and I like it. I think more mistakes can be made there. You know, a lot of times coaches or whoever will want to stick around with the veteran because they know more about him, and there might be that fourth or fifth round pick that might have been a little dinged up that they want to, you know. If you don't have,
it'll become more of a scouts league than what you're. I mean,
well,
in a way.
There's a perfect example of what you're saying. May I give it?
Go.
A long time ago, the draft was the week after the Super Bowl, and the haves got more and the have-nots screwed up more. I mean, the division between
the haves and the have-nots, meaning good scouts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, in other words, the teams that were prepared didn't need more time, and the teams that were just notorious for being incompetent, you know, needed more time and didn't have it. So the gap, you know, increased. It wasn't until they moved the draft back into April that they gave all the bad scouting departments time and a chance to catch up.
Well, I also think there's another side of that, that it gives you more time to screw up because you start paying you start paying attention to height, weight, speed, vertical jump, combine.
That too.
And you get further away from what they do on the tape in the fall, you're going to make more mistakes.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at right away reasons to draft a kid, and then after you find the reasons to draft them, then you're looking for reasons not to draft them.
Gene won't mind me sharing this. When we have our first draft meetings, just based on how they played in the fall, he always looks at the board and says, you know what, this is the most accurate depiction of what a guy is.
Mm-hmm.
From that point forward, all-star right. games, and mm-hmm. now we take it all into consideration, but if you draft, say it was right after
he's playing with his heart in it.
Yeah. If you just end up taking all, quote, football players, mm-hmm. and you stay away from the testers and the flashes in the pan, you'll have a much higher rate of percentage of hitting than you will otherwise.
All right, there's some words from Terry McDonough. Terry, great to have you in. Always enjoy it, and hopefully we'll have a couple more times.
Yeah, you'll be seeing a lot more Gene, but anytime, you know, you want, I'll be here.
That's great. Terry McDonough for Vic Cashman, for Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. We'll be back tomorrow with the Jack Del Rio Show, 6 o'clock, followed by Jaguars This Week on Wednesday at 6, then 4:30 on Thursday, we get you going for the final preseason game of the year. Have a great afternoon, a great evening, everybody.